thank you, Deb, for the very generous introduction, and also for inviting me here tonight. I really appreciate it, and it's always lovely to connect with people on Gather. I wanted to say a couple of things before I got started. One was just to Regina, who I don't think is maybe in the room anymore, but I did appreciate what she was saying. I caught the very end of it, and that was about the whole idea that as long as there is an I present, as long as we're still believing that we're an I and identifying with this personal self, that that really our role, right-minded role, is to be a student. And that's very related to what I'm going to be talking about tonight in Lesson 186, Salvation of the World Depends on Me, which is really talking about salvation of the world depends on my forgiveness, my learning that I have one real function here, and that is my learning from a new inner teacher that I have a way of correcting my illusion about everyone and everything, including the I that I think I am. So I thought that was great, was sort of a great segue to what I'll be talking about, and also that Regina was talking about, that it's really the humility that is needed is to remember that we're students as long as we still have a split mind. Until we're healed, that mind is completely healed, we will be going back and forth and working with this new inner teacher to remember that really just about everything that we're experiencing is all of our reactions in the dream are pretty much, the first reaction is pretty much false and needs correction unless we're being kind to everyone and everything at 24/7, and so that means we're students most of the time for most of us, because we do go back and forth. So I think the other thing that I wanted to mention just briefly is that I was listening to Cheryl earlier, and I wanted to just say how much I appreciated listening to her, and to say how much grace I think she's and right-mindedness she's handling this very challenging situation with her brain tumor, and so I do think that's very inspiring for all of us, and very very open-hearted of her to be sharing that with us. So I really appreciate that. I guess I will get started by saying that one of the reasons that I chose this particular lesson to share tonight was just that I've been noticing in my own classroom, and the course talks about us having that this is we're learning that our lives are a classroom. And that's the right-minded use of our lives, that this is to look at them with this new inner teacher. We've been experiencing our lives with the ego for as long as we can remember, and the Course is introducing this new inner teacher that it calls Jesus or Holy Spirit, which is really just that symbol of the healed mind, the part of our mind that did not take the tiny mad idea, as the Course says, of separation from our source seriously, and is always available to us to connect with, so that we can begin to shift to that awareness. And that what I was noticed a couple weeks, even more than usual, is just how incredibly unstable the ego thought system is, and how when I go back to that, when I've chosen the ego, everything, it means that I've become unstable, wildly unstable, I would say, and I begin to see that nothing, I go to, my moods are unstable, my thoughts are unstable, I become, there's no sustainable peace, and nothing here that can meet my endless needs and satisfy my desires, and the Course gives us a lot of reasons for or the real reason that we feel that way. But this particular lesson talks in depth about that instability that we experience, and it really spoke to me. And then the other reason that, well, and I think in speaking to that too, is as we go on with this practice of forgiveness of what never was, we become very much more sensitized to the pain of that instability. And so for me, it's that I can't really stay there in that chaos as long as I could before. I wasn't aware of it before. I wasn't feeling it fully before. And now that I am, and now that I've exposed, you know, I'm looking with this inner teacher that is helping us expose this instability, it becomes intolerable. And that really is what Jesus, as our teacher, is getting us to see, is that, you know, this is the cause of all of our suffering, this choice to identify with our separate interests, to identify with this ego, inner teacher that is constantly seeing a me versus them world, a world of complete conflict in which I'm in opposition to everyone and everything, and there's, you know, I can only win at someone else's expense, and I'm learning through this practice the full cost of that thought system, and that you know, it's becoming much more intolerable to me. So that was one of the reasons that I chose this lesson, and I guess the other reason was really just like in my. I have two books that I've or essays about forgiveness and a blog about forgiveness, which about 2 years into having encountered the Course, I've been working with the Course for about 9 years. I came to a point of realizing that I really didn't know what the hell it was talking about. And in terms of practicing forgiveness, I knew that was the core teaching of A Course in Miracles, but I was still, I think, as many of us are when we come to the Course, equating it with the world's forgiveness and the forgiveness of, you know, that we were all kind of taught, which was this idea that I was forgiving something real and really evil in someone else. You know, that I'm forgiving the horrible thing that someone else did to me because I'm the get in our mind, between, you know, that the idea that the other person is guilty, but what we don't realize is that it's also really feeding this idea, this unconscious belief that I am guilty as well of this, you know, secret sin of having separated from our source. So at that point, I at least knew that it wasn't working. In fact, I felt that it was making my life more unstable. It was making my life, my relationships more conflicted. And because, of course, people, when you're pulling that on people, they can sense it. And so, it seemed that the strife in my life was becoming greater, and I knew it wasn't working. And so I guess, you know, I came to a point of at least recognizing, maybe, you know, I thought that my cry for a better way of living in this world was the finding the Course itself, but I came to another deeper call for love, call for help, in which I recognized that nothing in plan of how the Course would look and how it would, what it was saying, was working. And so I really did, I guess, in at least complete sincerity, say that, you know, please help me. I guess it was a moment of true prayer in which I was asking to really be taught the what forgiveness really was, the true forgiveness that the Course is talking about, which is not forgiving something real in another person, but forgiving this idea that we could be separate from our source and each other, and that anyone is guilty here. That reflection of that idea that we really pulled off this fragmentation of perfect wholeness and deserve to be punished for it, that we're constantly projecting on each other. And so I, in praying for that and in really kind of approaching the Course from that point on, I guess, you know, really recognizing that I didn't know, from that deep awareness of not knowing, was a beginning of my opening to the practice of forgiveness, in which we're really asked a question from moment to moment, you know, how we're feeling, which teacher we've chosen, the teacher that's going to root us more deeply in this dream of separation, which would be the ego, or this other, you know, new inner teacher that's teaching us this new kind of forgiveness. And that was what I began to write about and what I began to really work with. And what began to, and again, it's emphasis on began, it began to help me see things differently, to make that shift and that correction. And so this lesson 186 really talks about salvation of the world depending on my forgiveness, my forgiving, my belief in a world outside the mind of conflict and special interests. And I want to make sure I'm still transmitting here just before I get started going any further on the lesson. Someone, okay, great, thank you. So I guess that practice has been very healing for me and continues to be very healing for me. And again, as Regina was saying earlier, it's healing the idea of me, which is what we're really trying to heal here. This idea of a me and a you that are different than each other and somehow, you know, other than each other and in competition with each other. So this lesson is, I think, very powerful in speaking to us about that forgiveness being our only function. And the course has quite a few lessons, workbook lessons, that talk about forgiveness being our function and talk about our special function. And you know, when we first come to the course and we hear that we have a special function, the ego gets all excited about that because, you know, we're kind of like, oh, I knew it. I knew I had a special function here. And we think it's about us. And of course, it has nothing to do with that. Everybody has the same special function, and the special function is forgiveness. And you know, we're all equal as students here in the illusion. And if we one mind, and you know, in the way that we're experiencing it as a fragment, then the tool that we're given is this new kind of forgiveness, which is. In which we're invited to say, whenever we're upset about anything, you know, that I'm not upset for the reason I think that the problem is in my mind. I could see peace instead of this. Please, please help me to see things differently. Meaning, you know, please help me to see with this teacher within that knows that nothing happened to destroy that perfect wholeness, and remember to smile, and is only loving to everyone and everything, regardless of what seems to be happening in this dream of separation, in which bad stuff happens. It can be quite a nightmare at times, as we all know. So I'm going to go to reading this. This lesson and commenting on it as we go, and really trying to again emphasize the idea that, you know, our function is learning that our lives are a classroom, and every moment we have this opportunity to ask to look with Jesus, Holy Spirit, to see as He sees, as this part of our mind sees and experiences the illusion. And if we can do that, if we can begin to learn to challenge every ego thought, which is something that Ken Wapnick says a lot, you know, to really from moment to moment say, which teacher am I experiencing this with? And if we're having anything but thoughts of kindness toward everyone, then you know, we know we need because the Holy Spirit's perception includes everyone, includes everything in its warm embrace. There are no special others out there, and no one in truth is guilty. Everyone shares the same mind split over this belief that we could possibly be separate from our source and the crushing guilt of that. And everyone, regardless of how they're acting out in the dream, deserves the same, you know, the same response, loving response. And that's what we're learning, is to not look to form for our reality, but to look back to the mind. This is a course in about learning that we are one mind and not many bodies vying for survival here. So it starts out by saying, Lesson 186, salvation of the world depends on me. Here is the statement that will one day take all arrogance away from every mind. Here is the thought of true humility, which holds no function as your own, but that which has been given you. So, you know, it's arrogant. I mean, the forgiveness is my only function, and that is the humility with which, you know, it's arrogance to think otherwise. It's arrogant to believe, first of all, that I could be separate from my source. It was an arrogant thought, an arrogant belief that you know, appeared to get us into this mess. And so, it, you know, the correction for that is the true humility of learning that I am still one with my Creator, as is everyone and everything here, through this process, this function that we are given of forgiveness, which is just that correction for that idea that this could possibly have happened. So it offers your acceptance. It forgiveness offers your acceptance of a part assigned to you without insisting on another role. It does not judge your proper role. It acknowledges the will of God is done on earth as well as heaven. It unites all wills on earth in heaven's plan to save the world, restoring it to heaven's peace. And of course, you know, this is talked about as if it's given, if it's a gift that's given us from God. But God, the Course tells us, doesn't know about an impossible dream, an illusion. God only knows us truly as we remain resting in God, just dreaming of this exile. And so, but, and you know, this is about healing the condition we think we're in, and the tool that we use to do that is this function of forgiveness. And that is what's going to restore to our mind as we begin to go back to that quiet center in the mind and remember that we can choose, that we're the chooser, not the ego, and that we have another part of our mind that is wholly loving and completely lucid and clear in what we are, that, you know, that when we do that, we will be restored in that holy instant to remembering that oneness, that sameness here. That we're all the same, and that nothing really happened, that there is no guilt, that there no one's guilty here. And, you know, we will experience that dropping away, dissolving of our belief about, you know, the reason that I'm suffering is because of something external, is because of something that you did to me, something that, you know, my body is doing, something that... Am I not getting my needs met in a relationship? All of the many ways in which we throw our peace away, and well, you know, this lesson, as I was saying, talks about the stupendous vacillations that we go through in just from moment to moment in our belief that we're being bombarded by all these victimizers out there that are trying to rob us of our peace and happiness. So he in this next paragraph, he's going to be very reasonable with us and just speaking to us again as teacher to student and in a very authoritative manner, not authoritarian, but you know, Jesus is very clear in what he's telling us and how he's telling us we need to do this, and you know, it's really our part of our beginning to heal is to become really open students, open learners, and to admit that we don't know and really need to be taught. We can't be taught. As soon as we think that we know, we're right back in ego again, as Regina was saying earlier, actually, and that, you know, that is going, it means that we can't be taught and we can't heal. So he says, let us not fight our function. We did not establish it. It is not our idea. And so, you know, that whole we did not establish it, it is not our idea. The ego just goes crazy when it hears statements like that, because the ego wants to, you know, believe that its idea, the tiny mad idea, had real effects, and everything that happened as a result of that had real effects. And so we're always, you know, trying to really try to establish our own function as separate individuals. The idea that this, you know, Jesus is kind of turning this upside down instead of relating in this seeming world. If you want to become more peaceful and loving and kind. So he says, the means are given us by which it will be perfectly accomplished. All that we are asked to do is to accept our part in genuine humility. And to me, that's, you know, that's that genuine humility again, that trust, that trust in this new teacher, trust in the idea that there has to be a better way, that there has to be another, you know, that this isn't all there is, this world of conflict and strain and competing interests and, you know, ultimate bodies that fail us. So all that we are asked to do is to accept our part in genuine humility and not deny with self-deceiving arrogance that we are worthy. And of course, the ego is always trying to, ego, or the way it's expressed in through me, is always trying to get me to say that it's not, you know, this isn't working, to try to judge my progress, quote unquote, by some kind of change in form. And this is not never about form. It is never about making illusions real. It's about the healing of our mind about the world, the healing of our mind about the illusion, that, you know, looking at the blocks to our awareness of love and seeing them really for the nothingness that they are by looking with this new inner teacher. So he says, what is given us to do, we have the strength to do. Our minds are suited perfectly to take the part assigned to us by one who knows us well. And the one who knows us well, you know, this new inner teacher is the but you can use any deliberately excluding the soul that the Course uses, because then you're mad into a conflict too. So really just that the corrected part of our mind, that symbol of wholeness, of is all inclusive in our mind and has no opposite and is completely unconditional. Today's idea may seem quite sobering, its meaning. All it says is that your Father offers you the perfect trust he holds in you who are his son. And so today's idea, which is salvation of the world depends on me, seems quite sobering and daunting to the ego, because, you know, we think we have to do something about the world, and you know, that's a pretty daunting idea that we can fix it or change out there about the external. It's about, again, changing my mind, choosing to change my mind about my belief in the world, my belief that that's the cause of my upset of any kind, that's the cause of my suffering, that I'm a victim somehow of that world. See. So he says, today's idea may seem quite sobering. Until you see its meaning, all it says is that your Father still remembers you and offers you the truth of what we are, you know, our Father, our Creator, doesn't know about. A world, an impossible dream that we had in the moment that it arose, this idea of what would it be like to live in this, and all of the possible expressions of what that would look like that seemed to arise in that moment. So all it says is that your Father offers us the perfect trust he holds in who we are as his son, as this one child of God that we remain despite our wild demands. It does not ask that you be in any way from what you are. What could humility request but this? And what could arrogance deny but this? Today we will not shrink from our assignment on the specious grounds that modesty is outraged. It is pride that would deny the call for God himself. And, you know, often, of course, it's turning upside down the idea of the meaning concepts in the ego's world. And so arrogance becomes the denial of our believing that we could be other than seamlessly fused with our Creator, this oneness joined as one. And true humility becomes this you know, accepting that idea, accepting that the teacher that is bringing us back to that idea, to that awareness, and the means, which is forgiveness, of bringing us back, the function that is given us, our only real function here. So he goes on to say that all false humility we lay aside today, that we may listen to God's voice reveal to us what he would have us do. And so, you know, again, it's not about what we would be doing in an unreal world. What he would have us do is forgive. He goes on to say, there is one way and only one, thank you, Dove, sorry, there is one way and only one to be released from the imprisonment your plan to prove the false is true has brought to you. Accept the plan you did not make instead. And the plan we did not make instead is, of course, forgiveness, is this our special function, our only function, if our goal is the healing of our mind. Judge not your value to it. If God's voice, and God's voice is the Holy Spirit, this part of our mind that remembered that we are only loving and united, if God's voice assures you that salvation needs your part and that the whole depends on you, be sure that it is so. The arrogant must cling to words, afraid to go beyond them to experience which might affront their stance. Yet are the humble free to hear the voice which tells them what they are. And again, that, you know, that echoing that idea of, you know, recognizing and accepting that I don't know, that I need help, is the opening to become that happy learner, to become to in true humility accept that I can be taught, that, you know, from a teacher that knows that we really are whole and not these distorted at very, very unstable and often hateful images of ourselves that we have made. Arrogance makes an image of yourself that is not real. It is this image which quails and retreats in terror as the voice for God assures you that you have the strength, the wisdom, and the holiness to go beyond all images. And boy, isn't that the truth? We, you know, the ego, the idea that the ego's constant clinging to this idea of a personal self is you know, that quails at the awareness or even getting near to that light of the mind, even getting back to the mind at all. And you know, the last thing the ego wants us to do is to remember that we're the decision-making mind and that we can choose this other teacher. Because if we keep going back to the mind, we are choosing against the ego. We're choosing to heal the split mind. And what does that mean for me? What does that mean for this special self that I think I am? And so it's you know, of course it's going to be terrifying to us, but all that we have to do with that is the same thing that we do with every other negative reaction that we have in the dream. And that is forgive. Take it back to the mind and look at it. Just keep doing what we're doing and you know, recognizing with kindness toward the self we think we are, that it's just a part of me that's, you know, there's still a part of me that's very afraid and doesn't know that I am anything else but this body. But we are being led and we are growing through this path and through accepting this function into the awareness that we have a different reality beyond this that is everything we really want. And so so that's what we keep, you know, that's what we keep working with this practice, despite the fact that the ego is going to be throwing up all kinds of temper tantrums as we go along. And so that's where the value of really committing ourselves and reminding ourselves constantly and asking ourselves constantly, where is my mind right now? Which teacher have I chosen right now? And just bringing ourselves back to the moment and recognizing that if we're feeling anything but peace and kindness toward all that is, then we just need help. We just became afraid again. And so we go, you know, we need to learn. We need to choose a different teacher. And that's something that we can do in any moment. And you know, that's really the path of forgiveness, the function that we're given here for the healing of our split mind. So he says, you are not ignorant and helpless. Sin cannot tarnish the truth in you, and misery can come not near the holy home of God. So it's really about us identifying with our strength within our mind, our self, instead of our weakness. And you know, when we do that, the rest is done for us. We just simply return to that awareness. Maybe not right away, maybe not instantly, but we will shift to that, you know, a sincere recognition that what I'm, my way is not working, and that this is causing my suffering, this choice for the ego, and this choice to side with the inner teacher of separation, and you know, to look at the world thinking that I'm a victim of the world I see. My choice to choose again for this teacher that knows I have everything, that I could not be divided in any way, and remain wholly loved and loving, as does everyone else seemingly out there, that, you know, all I need to do is kind of wait for that awareness to return to my mind. And in my practice, it does return. It's not always immediate, and that's really none of our business. Our you know, all we have to do is as Ken Wapnick often says lately, is, you know, to lesson five, which is, I'm not upset for the reason I think. And then, you know, I think it's lesson 34, I could see peace instead of this. And then we wait for that peace to return. We're inviting that part of our mind, and we're kind of to look with us. And we're offering that part of our mind all that we think would hurt us from moment to moment. Where is my mind right now? That's all we have to ask, and you know, and choose again whenever we're feeling anything but all-inclusive love and peace. So that means a lot of choosing throughout our day, usually. All this, the voice for God relates to you, and as he speaks, the image trembles and seeks to attack the threat it does not know, sensing its bases crumble. And so that's the ego attacking, you know, always attacking to try to preserve itself, because it believes that it's constantly feeding us the lie that this is all I am, and that we must protect these bodies, we must protect this mind, you know, or this separate self, this split mind. And because we have nothing else, and that we're not welcome back because of this crime we committed against God. And so, you know, we've been cast out of heaven in the ego's myth, but in truth, we remain in heaven, and you know, all we need to do is to keep choosing for this part of our mind that knows that and can help us look through these barriers to that awareness that we've, these blocks that we've made, that we've imagined for ourselves, to the perfection that lies beyond. And so we find our peace. We will accept the function God has given us, for all illusions rest upon the weird belief that we can make another for ourselves. And of course, you know, we will accept the function God has given us, which is forgiveness, for all illusions rest upon the weird belief that we can make another for ourselves. We can have another function. And in my experience, I'm constantly trying to make other functions. Whenever I start wandering away from the mind again, I'm trying to somehow fix the world, or change the world, or change something in my dream, or react to it and respond to it, and, you know, I think there's a problem out there, then that's when everything becomes very unstable, as I was referring to earlier, and we just, you know, all hell breaks loose. It just becomes very chaotic, and there's no fixing anything, you know, everything, it just results in another problem. Nothing ever brings me peace, whereas when I choose the function of forgiveness, and I go back to the mind and look with this inner teacher, then I can return to that awareness as well, despite the chaos that's going on in the dream. And, you know, I can remember that it's a dream, and that I'm the dreamer, and that it's all okay. It was just silliness. Nothing, you know, nothing dire is really happening. And there's nothing really to do or fix out there in the illusion. There's only my mind to deal, you know, to deal with if my goal is peace. There may be within the form, as long as I still think I'm here, things that need to be done. But if I'm coming from that place of sanity in the mind, then everything that flows from there will be loving, whatever I have to do, and will be peaceful and will not be fraught with all this chaos. It will be stable and always be kind to everyone involved. And, you know, how it doesn't matter what that looks like. We can't judge what that would look like in any given situation, because it will be coming from that right mind and applied perfectly. So he says our self-made roles are shifting, and they seem to change from mourner to ecstatic bliss of love and loving. We can laugh, weep, and greet the day with welcome or with tears. Our very being seems to experience 1,000 shifts in mood, and our emotions raise us high indeed or dash us to the ground in hopelessness. And, you know, that's that incredible instability of the ego thought system that I was referring to earlier, and something that just really speaks to me. I think that's so well put. And I think that if we're honest with ourselves and we really are practicing this in the classroom of our lives and looking at our, you know, observing and experiencing how easily we throw that peace away, that, you know, the peace of the right mind away, and how often we do that, then, you know, we will recognize that this is causing us tremendous stress. And so, you know, that's our, but the value of that looking and that recognition is that we learn that we have another choice, and we learn that this is what's right. I choose Jesus as my teacher. If I choose to look with the part of my mind that is sane and stable and peaceful, then I will begin, you know, then I can share in that stability. There's nothing ever that's going to be stable in this world. It was built of, you know, it was the result of an unstable and unkind idea. So nothing here that has happened seemed to happen as a result of that unkind thought and unstable thought of separation and fragmentation will ever bring me the peace and will ever substitute for the real love I'm looking for that I believe I've somehow turned away from, thrown away. So he says, after describing that instability, is this the Son of God? Could he create such instability and call it Son? He who is changeless shares his attributes with his creation. All the images his Son appears to make have no effect on what he is. And this is our true state, of course, that, you know, our true state, our oneness joined as one of heaven, of our true relationship as seamlessly fused with God. But it's certainly not, you know, that's not how we experience ourselves, but how we experience ourselves has in no way interrupted or had any effect on our real nature, that is still where we are still, you know, resting in God, just dreaming of exile. So all the images, all these projections his Son appears to make have no effect on what he is. They blow across his mind like windswept leaves that form a patterning an instant, break apart to group again and scamper off, or like mirages seen above a desert rising from the dust. These unsubstantial images will go and leave your mind unclouded and serene when you accept the function given you. And again, that's a journey in accepting that this is our only function. Even when we have, you know, made forgiveness our intention, our learning true forgiveness, our goal, you know, we still go rushing back out into the world thinking that something else will, that there is some other function, that there's something else for me to do or achieve, me, you know, something that's going to make me important or better or more accepted or you know, more loved or whatever we're trying to achieve, or more protected. But there's nothing out there. I mean, literally, there's nothing out there, the Course tells us. And so there can't be anything out there that's going to help me with my perception of me and my awareness, my experience of me. My only hope of really finding the love and the love for all and the true, of filling that lack of love that I walk around with, is returning to, is this process of forgiveness and learning from a new teacher that nothing ever happened to disrupt that, not in me and not in anyone else, regardless of how people seem to be acting out here in the dream. There's just one ego, and it's always mine that's in you know, my choice for the ego that's in need of healing in whatever kind of ego expression I'm experiencing or witnessing. It's my dream, so that would have to be my mind in need of healing. So there's nothing in the world that's going to bring me that peace or the love that I'm looking for, or and the innocence that I'm looking for, because we believe that we deserve to be, you know, that we squandered that love and deserve to not get it back. So we're constantly trying to kind of get it back in these false ways from each other, from the illusion of each other. And of course it never works, because there's no way that can happen. So he says, who could be constant in his efforts or direct his energies and concentrated drive toward goals like these? The functions which the world esteems are so uncertain that they change 10 times an hour at their most secure. What hope of gain can rest on goals like this? And, you know, of course, there is no hope of gain that can rest on goals like this. And you know, the Course does tell us in other parts in the workbook and in the text that we don't even, you know, there's no way for us to know what we want. We don't even know what we are. So we can't possibly know what would make us happy. The only returning to the mind and learning, you know, becoming happy learners, that we may undo this guilt that's blocking our awareness of everything we really want and everything we really are, this union, this perfect oneness, non-dualistic oneness joined with one, that of our true nature. I mean, that's all we really want. And the way that we find it is through accepting this as our function, as our new function, and making forgiveness the purpose of our life, the, you know, making our looking at our lives as a classroom in which we learn from this teacher, and giving that, I mean, that is the real meaning of our lives. There really isn't any other meaning to our lives except healing our mind of the idea of separate lives. That's what's going to bring us peace. So he says, in lovely contrast, certain as the suns return each morning to dispel the night, your truly given function stands out clear and wholly unambiguous. There is no doubt of its validity. It comes from one who knows no error, and his voice is certain of its messages. They will not change nor be in conflict. All of them point to one goal, which of course is forgiveness, and one you can attain. Your plan may be impossible, but God's can never fail, because he is its source. And the Holy Spirit is that bridge back to God. And you know, so that's the voice for God, the plan for God. The quote is, or the Course, or this is referring to as if God had a plan for us, or as, and God knew about the world. But every, you know, throughout the Course, we're told that God doesn't know about the world. But the correction, the kinder, the meeting us in the condition we think we're in, this little fairy tale, is that here's the plan, here's the way out, here's how you get back. But really, in practice, what we know from working with this, that the Holy Spirit's voice is very still, and forgiveness is very still and quietly does nothing. It merely looks and waits and judges not. It's there for us, always shining and stable, and ready for us to come running back to after we've, you know, exhausted the possibilities of the world again, after we've recognized again the the hurt it's, you know, it's bringing us, the suffering it's causing, to constantly be looking for myself where I cannot be, and to be blaming others for my problems, which is only increasing my sense of unattainable innocence. And so, you know, so that's how we become happy learners, is returning to this very, very quiet, changeless, stable part of our mind that's always there for us, and turning away from all the chatter of the ego, all of the chaos of the dream, all of the shifting goals and constant, you know, constant changing plans and you know, things, as this lesson is saying, that are changing 10 times an hour, in our inability to even focus these days, as you know, with all of the technology that we all have, and all of the ways to communicate we have, we're going in even more directions probably than ever, in a desperate effort to stay away from the mind, until we learn that only returning to the mind is what's going to heal us of you know, the problem, all the problems that we see out there. There's just one problem, and that's our forgetting that we have a mind, and that we chose this dream, and that we can choose again to remember through this part of our mind, you know, to grow into stable memory of our wholeness. So he says, all of them point to one goal and one you can attain. Your plan may be impossible, but God's can never fail because he is its source. Therefore, he goes on to say, do as God's voice directs. Forgive, which would be forgive. And if it asks a thing of you which seems impossible, remember who it is that asks and who would make denial. Then consider this, which is more likely to be right? The voice that speaks for the creator of all things, who knows all things exactly as they are, or a distorted image of yourself, confused, bewildered, inconsistent, and unsure of everything. Let not its voice direct you. Hear instead a certain voice, which tells you of a function given you by your Creator, who remembers you and urges that you now remember him. And so, if it asks a thing of which seems impossible, remember who it is that asks. And you know, of course, there's no hierarchy of illusions. The Course tells us there's nothing. We're not forgiving anything real. Everything that we believe is a problem needs to be looked at with this part of our mind, you know, that we may see that there was only one problem, and that was not a real problem. It was all made up. So it says, his gentle voice is calling from the known to the unknowing. And again, the importance of you know, admitting that we don't know. If we're upset in any way, if we believe that we are, that the problem is something external, then we're in need of healing. Then we need to return to the mind and choose again and ask for to see things differently. He would comfort you, although he knows no sorrow. He would make a restitution, though he is complete. A gift to you, although he knows that you have everything already. He has thoughts which answer every need his son perceives, although he sees them not. For love must give, and what is given in his name takes on the form most useful in a world of form. And again, you know, it's not up to us what any of this looks like. We will know if there's anything that would be loving to do or say, or you know, to respond to anyone in any way, once we have joined with that awareness, once we have turned away from the ego and chosen to experience whatever's going on through that healed perspective, then there's nothing else to do. And if anything, you know, in the condition we think we're in the world of form, would be most loving, we will just know it. We'll just flow from that awareness. There won't be any stress or planning or urgency to fix or perfect or defend. So these are the forms. We're almost done here. I'll finish this up. These are the forms which never can deceive, because they come from formlessness itself. Forgiveness is an earthly form of love, which as it is in heaven has no form. So again, you know, there in forgiveness is this correction. The Course is telling us it's not the truth and it's not the end of this journey, but it's the means. It's how we get to the awareness when all of the everything that we've looked at that with our with this loving teacher within, with our right mind, and seen that it has had no effect on our enduring all-inclusive innocence, then we, you know, then at the end of that journey, when we have looked at everything, we will return to our split mind will heal, and that will be the real world, and then eventually, you know, we will be lifted up and disappear into the heart of God, but that's at the end of the journey, and you know, there's nothing, as long as anything is troubling us, and we believe that anything that there is anything but perfect wholeness, then we are in need of this correction. So forgiveness is an earthly form of love, which as it is in heaven has no form. Yet what is needed here is given here as it is needed. In this form you can fulfill your function even here, although what love will mean to you when formlessness has been restored to you is greater still. Salvation of the world depends on you who can forgive. Such is your function here. So thank you so much too, Dove. I'm just looking up and we are exactly, I think, done. So I wanted to thank you all again, and I apologize for that little hiccup somewhere in the middle there. And I will be, yes, my blog is www.forays.com. My newest collection of essays about practicing forgiveness is Forgiveness Offers Everything I Want. And my first collection was called Extraordinary Ordinary Forgiveness. So thank you. Thank you for joining me. And it was really nice to be here. I appreciate it. I'm going to sign off and give this back to Dove.